Hey everyone, welcome to Inside the Cage. This is episode 117. Back every week. Well,
what? You're back consistent, at least within 2 weeks in a row for a change.
2 weeks in a row, mate, 2 weeks in a row. How are you, big man?
I'm all bad, mate, how are you? I want to be a bit fresher today, actually.
What?
You want to be a bit fresher today?
Nah, I feel it shit.
You must have washed your face before you started or something, man.
I must have, mate, must have. Nah, usual, mate, just knackered.
As always, my man, never changes with you.
No, it's just the shift to me, but I'm alright. Living the dream.
Up to much of the weekend, quiet?
Out on Saturday and then shopping yesterday, usual life stuff.
Stuff you need to do at the weekend.
How about you?
Pretty quiet. First game of the season on Saturday, which was good. Get back to the football. So, of course, it's a capacity crowd, but it's the capacity of what it can be at this moment in time. So
that did you actually go?
Aye.
Right.
Well, my season tickets a week. I don't know that, Jask. We'd allow like 2,000 in and we've literally just got like 2,000 season ticket holders. So what's that like fucking perfect?
Lucky you.
So, aye, on Saturday. Could be one on Saturday and then just done some family stuff yesterday. So, aye, pretty quiet, man.
Ideal.
Try to stay off the booze as well, so try to stay off a drink. That's 2 weeks without any drink, so happy days. That's probably the most I've done for about 6 months, mate. Easy.
Oh no, I can easily have 2 weeks off a drink. I couldn't tell you last time I had a drink.
Yeah, but see sometimes on a Friday night, you just need a beer after the week of having a wane. A wane makes you drink, it's simple as. I can understand why fucking parents turn on alcoholics, because honestly, you need a drink sometimes just to fucking just chill out. Anyway. Yeah,
you're making excuses.
I'm not making excuses, mate. I'm not. Plus, I just like a beer. The weather's been too good recently, not to have a beer sometimes, so.
Yeah, I get that.
Anyway, shall we get on, mate?
Yeah, let's do it. Nobody's interested in your alcoholic tendencies.
No comment.
So, what we'll do is we'll have a run through the weekend. We'll look at Bellator 263, Pitbull versus McKee. We'll look at UFC Fight Night Hall versus Strickland. And then we'll have a look forward to this weekend where we've got the big pay-per-view headlined by Lewis versus Gann. So, let's get started. And we'll start with Bellator from the Los Angeles Forum. Which I didn't realise it was actually there, but the noise, man, was unbelievable. The crowd was insane in this card, by the way.
We heard when Ian McKee was coming out. Obviously, he's a local boy, and he's the one that obviously we're all supporting from start to finish, and they went absolutely fucking mental. And even the response that Pitbull got, the boon, was fucking tremendous, man. I like a bit of aggro. It's always good. It's always about a good bit of fun, so. So something you see very often in MMA. It's usually very
PC.
PC, yeah. There's no like hometown stuff very often. You don't get the hometown guys fighting in their hometowns. So whereas in boxing, you get it a lot. There's a hell of a lot of boxers always fighting their hometowns.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen in MMA because of the way MMA works. So it was actually quite good to see that. I quite liked it, man. Aye, the crowd's mental, as you say, man. 11,000 in there as well, which was fucking good. Plenty of fans in and supporting the fights, man.
The whole thing was set up for AJ McKee to win on the night, if you think about it. Like, it was in California. It was fans in the arena. First time I think they've had fans back. They've not done it. Most of their stuff's been at Megan's Sun, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's the first event they've had fans back at, so bigger,
kind of, for that respect. Literally all set up, mate. Literally all set up for him to win it.
It was his coming out party, mate. This was him finally getting a belt. I think everybody knew how good AJ McKee really was. I think everybody knew he had the technical ability and the technical skill to do pretty much whatever he wants when that cage. It was definitely his coming out party to put on a massive show. First show with the fans, getting his belt in Los Angeles. Just as you say, it was set up for AJ McKee to win it, to become that superstar. probably Bellator really lacks, to be honest. Bellator doesn't have a superstar.
No.
They don't have an out-and-out guy to go, here's me. That's the guy you look at with Bellator, and his face is always on it.
Pitbull was that guy.
Yeah, but I think because they're American-based promotions, you need an American guy to front things.
I mean,
you really do.
Pitbull was the closest thing they had to that guy. What I mean,
because he was a double champ, because he was a champ, he became the face. Yeah. But when you're as say, we're in America, you need an American. You need no offense to football, his English is pretty good, but you still need somebody who speaks very good English and basically can say whatever he wants and hasn't got to think about it and can react to things. And I think as well with Jimmy Key, he's good at that. He's good with the talking. He's good with the chat as well, man. It's just he is a superstar. He is now Bellator's probably. Not first superstar, but he's probably near his dad. And he's homegrown as well, let's be honest. He's been there from start to finish. He's not went into the UFC, get pumped a few times. He's pretty shit hot, even though he got pumped a few times. So we'll pick him up and we'll go and promote him and make him be a star. But he is literally a homegrown Bellator superstar, which is probably the first one we've ever had.
Yeah, I think so. The biggest one, anyway.
Yeah, 100%, the biggest one. There's no doubt about that, man. I've always liked AJ McKee. Obviously, we like to try and keep up with Bellator. You get some decent fights in it. Watched him for a while now, man. Probably since the early days. I think maybe John McCapper was one of the first fights I've seen him fight. That's maybe 3 or 4 years. Well, coming up for 3 years now. And you just always looked on. You went, he is a star, man. He is a fucking star in the making. And he's fucking brilliant, man. That head kick was just fucking on point. I know, obviously, before the fight, he said he was going to finish it with a body shot. Maybe Pitbull was a wee bit worried about that and maybe kept his hand down a wee bit low at that point, and that opened up for the head kick, and that's what got it. The head kick led to the guillotine, and boom, Bob's your uncle.
Yeah.
He is now the champion. He is now the featherweight champion of Bellator.
That's kind of crazy, to be honest with you. Like if you think about it, if you read some of the stuff, right? So, he basically won the featherweight championship, right? In 2014. Lost it for, what was that, a year? So, I lost it for a year and a half. But that whole time, right, Pitbull has basically been champion the whole time that AJ McKee has been fighting in Bellator.
Aye, he was actually the original champion. He was he's been there that fucking long that as you say, since AJ McKee started fighting for Bellator, he has been the champion. It's fucking mental, mate. It's mental.
Because he dropped it to Daniel Strauss, wasn't it? I dropped it to Daniel Strauss.
2015.
And then won it back off of him in April 2017, so about 18 months later. And has held it ever since. It's absolutely crazy, mate. And AJ McKee's debut was in 2015. It's just the whole story's just nuts, man. Like it's the pinnacle of like a guy not getting rushed. Like, the boy obviously wasn't a superstar right at the start. When he started fighting for you, Bellator, he was only 20 years old, whatever it may be. He was, a young boy, but they've obviously built him up. He's had 17 fights before he had a title shot and beaten some of the names in that division, do you know what I mean? I think he's an absolute star in the making. I genuinely believe he could be one of the best featherweights in the world, if not already is. He made Pitbull look this, even though it was a head kick, but even for that, however long it lasted, for that 2 minutes it lasted, sorry, 3 minutes it lasted, sorry, he just looked class, mate. Pitbull looked nowhere near.
No, you're right, he didn't. I did think that Pitbull was very slow to even do anything. I don't think he threw a punch in the first couple of minutes, and obviously Pitbull kind of likes to take the centre of the cage as such and try and kind of make his move and try and lead the dance, but McKee wasn't allowing him to do that either. So Mate, as you say, he is a superstar. He is now the superstar. I think that's what you've got to say. He is the superstar. Bellator have got something now to go, look what we've got. Look at the class that we have. Look who this guy is, as you say. Is he the best featherweight in the world? It's always going to be difficult to say that, but you can't argue that he's definitely in the argument as such. You can't say that he can't be in that argument because of the class and the skill set that this guy has, because it's fucking, it's insane. I think I heard him speaking about cross promotion and trying to fight so many guys in UFC and try to shake things up and stuff like that and unify belts and all that. Like, UFC aren't going to fucking touch him while he's still going to have under Bellator contract, or he's still there. There's not going to be any involvement with Bellator and the UFC. That's just never going to fucking happen in a million years.
Yeah.
Personally, ideally, I'd like to maybe see him here going fighting Bellator for a couple of years. You'll still be 28. You'll still be young enough. Going to run off 3, 4, 5 fights on your contract, whatever you've got, go defend it. How many times you want to defend it? And to be honest, mate, he's got to make that jump. As much as he'll be a superstar making that jump, no, it's not just going to be a, like a Michael Chandler's one. Michael Chandler's a good fighter, a very good fighter who jumped over to UFC now after his contract ran out. But this, for the UFC, would be like poaching a superstar. This is like fucking Real Madrid taking Mbappe off PSG at some point. That's what that'll be. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely think there's talent there, mate. I definitely think that, you know, I know Scott Coker said, oh, he'd be so up for cross promotion. Of course he is. Dana White will never do it. Never. He'll never share that spotlight with anybody else ever. That's the problem. But obviously Scott Coker's like, oh yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Of course he is, because he wants the exposure. He wants the UFC audience that don't watch it. That's what he wants. And then a guy like McKee, he's got a guy with McKee that could probably hold his own with most of the featherweights in the UFC, to be honest. Whether he would beat them all, hard to tell. But he's special, mate. He's a special fighter. And I think the way they've kind of bred him up slowly, take his time. Obviously, they're saying it's such an achievement for you. I mean, coached in your dad's gym by your dad as well. Some people say that always holds you back because you've maybe not experienced other styles and other gyms, but it's not held him back at all.
No, it definitely hasn't. You can see that. It's worked from 100%. He is one of the best all-round fighters probably in the world, to be honest. When you talk about all-round fighters, there really isn't a lot who basically have every single skill set, but he actually does have every single skill set.
Yeah.
And I think that's what kind of maybe sets him apart and makes him that star and that superstar and that bloody good, man. As I said, I personally, I want to go see him fight the best. And maybe if he goes and fights Pitbull again, maybe at some point, maybe captures a lightweight title possibility in the future. I think it's been mentioned. I think Pitbull's team actually mentioned possibly, let's go to Brazil and we'll fight for the lightweight title. But it should be fucking massive. That'd be huge, man. That'd be mental to see that as well, which would be absolutely brilliant. But I want to see him fight the best in the world eventually, because I think he is in that conversation of the best in the world.
Yeah,
100%. So, what a performance, what a victory, what a way to do it, man. Unbelievable. Fair play to Jimmy Key, man, honestly. Brilliant.
Brilliant performance. There was some good stuff on this card. Also, we were quite excited about this card. It was a better card on paper than the UFC one. Both of us kind of raved about Mads Burnell, and he dominated Emmanuel Sanchez.
He dominated it in ways. He got takedowns around the rounds and kind of kept him down. It was weird, man. It was like Sanchez dominated it on the feet and then Burnell dominated it on the ground. Obviously, Burnell was involved in the feet, whereas when Sanchez was on his back, he wasn't really involved in the fight.
Yeah,
it was a difficult one, man. It was. I wouldn't say Burnell was lucky to get the victory, because certain judges obviously see fights certain ways, and obviously with the 2 or 3 takedowns that Burnell did get through the fight, you can't really argue that he didn't win the fight. But like first round, I thought Sanchez locked Burnell up first round. It was. It's a difficult one, man. It's. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't. It's not as if it was lucky and it was an absolute robbery or anything like that. You can't argue that he won the fight. But if Sanchez won the fight, the striking kind of the output, I think Sanchez threw something stupid. It was 125 punches or something like that in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Which is mental. That's 25 punches a minute, mate. That's one every 2 seconds. That's fucking scandalous.
That's mental.
So Aye, it was a great victory for Mads Burnell. It puts him up there, man. He's fucking Sanchez. But I think Sanchez lost to Pitbull last time out, didn't he? So you're arguably looking for Burnell, maybe to fucking call that. Fuck it, give me Sanchez. I want. He never called him do it after the fight, but why not, man? He's not Sanchez, Pitbull. Quite a lot of that level of fighter now, because he'll shoot right up their rankings. There's not a lot in front of him, I would say, within the division now. So, aye, this does massive things for Mads Burnell going forward in his career, and he's one half step closer to a title shot anyway when Bellator.
I agree, mate. I agree completely. I think it did definitely give him a chance to show how, like, that he can maybe fight at that level. I'm not sure he's as good as guys like McKee and Pitbull, but we did rave about him last week, and I'm chuffed he got the win, to be honest with you. It was a massive, massive deal for him.
No, I definitely delighted him with him, man. He was absolutely spot on in the mic at the end, man. His English is fucking spot on. But English is better than mine, I think, to be honest.
Oh, man, did you see his post-fight press conference?
I haven't seen the post-fight press conference. I've just seen the interview afterwards.
Yeah, that was brilliant, man. It was absolutely superb.
He's so good with the chat, man. He was so good, obviously, with the talk and stuff. That was brilliant to see, man. No, delighted for Mads Burnell. Good to see European fighters do well, mate. That's always a good thing. We always like to support the European fighters, UK fighters type thing as well. So, no, good to see. So, I'm interested to see what Bellator do with him going forward.
Yeah, definitely. What else on this card? Anything else you want to talk about?
Go to talk with Nurmagomedov's knee, man, to the liver of Muro, man. That was fucking ridiculous. I mean, it just clipped him, I think, as well, but it obviously caught him in the exact position where it was required. It was just... It was absolutely spot on, man. Muro went down like an absolute sack of spuds. It was unbelievable how he just folded up like a deck chair. I mean, there's so many phrases you could say about this one, because he literally just did.
He just crumbled, man.
To be honest, I don't think the punches after it were necessary, but you've got to wait till the referee pulls you off, and that's what he did. So,
correct.
He looks like a prospect. He still looks raw. There's still a few things maybe within the fight that he did. Needs a wee bit of work. I think he even said after that Khabib actually kind of phoned him up and went, like, well done in the victory, but you did this, and that's all fucking wrong.
Aye.
So Khabib, obviously he's a perfectionist, isn't he? So I'd imagine he'll go and iron these things out, and he'll push forward, and he'll be an even better fighter probably next time we see him. He's in an interesting division as well, man. There's no doubt that he'll eventually be. They were talking about him in their rankings and talking about him pushing towards a title fight. I think that'll be the plan.
There's definitely talent there, mate. 100%. There's definitely talent there. I say it'll just be Khabib tweaking the wee thing. He's only 23, mate. At the end of the day, so
he's a got boy. He's only a boy. He's only a Wayne, basically, isn't he? So
exactly. Again, he's probably got a bit of a padded record as well, to be honest.
As most Russians seem to do.
But then if you look at it, he fought in UAE Warriors as well, so it's not as if like he hasn't just been fighting in Russia, but he's only had a couple of fights with Bellator, so let's wait and see how he gets on, if he gets tested a bit more. And else, what about Rabadanov, man, knocking Daniel Carey? That was savage.
Yeah, that was savage, man. It was some sensational knockouts on this card, mate. That made it actually pretty good to catch up on, to be honest. Sometimes yeah, you see cards and you go, ah, fuck, I can't have us watching the 45 decisions, but...
I know. I didn't see a lot of it, to be honest. I just never get a chance, but what I have seen was absolutely savage. I mean, you've got to love Khabib, though. Like, Khabib actually helped Daniel Carey onto a stretcher after he got knocked the fuck out by Rabadanov, which is just kind of crazy.
I think I see somebody say, was a tweet or a Facebook post or something, whatever it was, basically somebody said, is Khabib actually got a better coach than he was a fighter?
Well, he's got the coach mentality because of the way he coached through his dad. Like, he's always going to be very serious. If you see videos in the gym, he's always very serious when it comes to the fighting and stuff like that. So I don't know, mate. He could be a better... Listen, if he gets to a stage where he's coaching, you know, five or six guys and like four of them have got world titles, then there's no question he's going to be a good coach. Looks so far to be a good coach. So
was he in Mamadov's corner as well?
I'm sure it was him.
Between Mamadov's corner as well. I never kind of flicked through the between the rounds. I was just kind of filing through the rounds because
I'm sure he was in somebody's corner, because he talked about him helping somebody on a stretcher or something, mate.
That's what I'm saying. Obviously, he was obviously in Usman's corner, and he was in. You're saying he was in Ram. I can't say that boy's name for some reason. Rabadanov was in Mamadov's corner as well. I wonder if he had three fighters in the card. I haven't noticed him, to be honest. But anyway, doesn't matter. Aye, there's some good stuff on it. You're the scariest man ever, as far as you're concerned. Get fucking choked the fuck out as well on the night. I seen that. That was weird, man. Crosby had Karjakin's back about a minute before the finish. It was weird, man. How Karjakin got that finish, I'll fucking never know. But fair play him, because it was a superb finish. Magomed Sharipov's knockout was fucking tremendous as well, mate. There's some good stuff on this, definitely, as it always is, man. It's always good to watch when it's last.
A boy Magomed Sharipov is 20 years old, mate. It's terrifying.
He looks it, mate. Like, he looks like a 10-year-old with a beard.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah. Seen, but hey guys, he actually looks like a wee bit like he's a beat. You can see the obviously the relations. And that, and his face, you can just see it looks like fucking Zabit.
Khabib was in Rabadanov's corner, one of his coaches.
So was it? It was Mamadov. I knew he was in the Rabadan. I don't know, that was Mamadov. I wasn't sure if it was Mamadov's corner. I was trying to work out if he'd done the three fights or not, just the two.
Was he was there helping Kerry get on the stretcher.
Cool.
It's like, oh, sorry, my guy fucked you up. I'll help you on the stretcher.
Any worries, pal? I'll stick you on. There you go, get your hospital. You'll need that.
This was a brilliant card, and you know, as we said, it was probably one of the best they had. Not the best, because they had a couple of belter cards last year or the year before when you and I raved about it, but it just so happened that the UFC card was better. But this, I think, by a bit, was the better card of the weekend, for me personally.
Aye, definitely, mate. There was some really good names on this, some really good young up-and-coming guys. This is probably a card you look back maybe in 2 or 3 years and go, right, fuck's sake, he's not a featherweight champion, who's not a lightweight champion, that kind of thing. There's guys on it, definitely, who going forward you'll see in a few years' time as champions. It was one of those cards, and there's top guys on it. As I said, Adrian McKee, fucking sensational, man. What a victory, what a coming out party, what a way to make your name and become a superstar, basically, so... Aye, brilliant. Well done, man, honestly, because they've done a really good card.
They do a lot of catchweight, don't they? There's three catchweight fights on this.
To be honest, I'm sure Rana wrapped an arm off or Kerry missed weight. I can't remember what one it was. But I think the likes of that Joshua Jones and stuff, I think they were saying about Kiefer Crosby. Obviously, Kiefer Crosby feasibly fought at welterweight at one point. And then I think he had a couple of fights actually at catchweight, because he actually wanted to fight at 155, but getting down there was difficult. So he had a couple of fights at catchweight. There you go. So his last fight against Charlie Hughes at 160. Furtado fight was at 160. Pereira fight before that was 165. Jackson fight before that was 165. Then he fought so his last fight at 170 was 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not necessarily a bad thing. They've obviously... He maybe knows, maybe he's a lightweight, blah, blah, blah. That's where Bellator want him to fight. So they've basically, I think they do this with quite a lot of fighters. They go, well, we know you can make 155 if you really had to, but you might struggle to get there. So what we'll do is we'll do it at 160 and it's a catchweight fight, and it means you're no struggling for that last £5. Mm. I don't see it as a bad thing. It's not a bad thing for their health either. I think that's the first time Kiefer Crosby's actually made 155.
Well, no, an interesting start about Georgi Karakayan.
Cool, Hatney.
Apparently it says he played for Torpedo and Spartak Moscow.
Fuck off. What, fucking under 10s or something?
Don't know, it just says he played for clubs Torpedo Moscow and Spartak Moscow.
That is so random.
I know. Anyway, right, cool. Let's move on. And we'll talk about UFC Fight Night Hall versus Strickland from the Apex with your VIP fans, which I think is a bit shit, if I'm honest, but that's a different thing altogether. Headlined, obviously, by a middleweight bout between Sean Strickland and Uriah Hall. overall, this was a good card. Like, on paper, it wasn't great. But
we said last week it could be a bit of a sleeper. Obviously, with one fight pull out, the Coleman fell off. Rani Yaya, he get popped for COVID, didn't he? So that was a bit of a disappointment. But as you say, it was actually a pretty good card, man. The main card especially was actually really good, man. You had three cracking finishes and then the absolutely superb fight. So it was a pretty good card overall, considering we're not saying we slated it last week, but we didn't exactly hype it up too much, did we?
No, we didn't. I mean, that's the thing. It wasn't as if it was we proper slated it, mate. It was more just that it wasn't really, you know, superb. But it was actually very good. And some good performances, some good finishes, some good, you know, fights in general. Brian Barberina versus Jason Witt. If you're not an MMA fan after watching that shit, there's something seriously wrong with you.
That's got to be up there as a fight of the year contender, sure. That's got to go on the list somewhere, man. That was fucking mental.
It was just nuts, man. At one minute you were going, oh my God, Witt's going to get smashed. And then the next minute you're like, oh fuck, Barberina's going to get smashed. And then it would calm down. It would do a wee bit of kind of grappling against the fence. Oh fuck, Witt's going to get knocked out. Oh fuck, Barberina's going to get knocked out. It was crazy. And then by the end of it, the two of them were just like, you know what, mate? Well fucking played. It was mental. See, I think it's brilliant, though. Fights like that, though, right? I think fights like that is exactly what should be your first fight on the card. I know it's always hard to know what a fight's going to be like, you know, until it actually happens, right? Of course it is. It's very hard to know. But most people would have thought that's exactly how that would have went. It was going to be 15 minutes of carnage between two very tough guys. That's exactly the kind of fight you want on the very first fight of your main card, because it gets people interested. If you're not interested in MMA after watching that, there's something wrong with you. I know everybody loves their first round, 30-second KO. Christ, we all do. But honestly, if you don't get absolutely buzzing watching that, if you're not like, ah, after it, then you're watching the wrong sport, I'm afraid.
I just say, mate, it was a perfect way to start this card, this main card. You always know Barberena's involved in these fucking tremendous fights. Jason Witt's as tough as they come as well. And it was fucking sensational, man. Honestly, I didn't know what way it was going to go. It was fucking so back and forth at times. Like, it was just, as you say, it was one saying, fuck, he's going to get finished. Fuck, he's going to get finished. Oh, fuck, what's going on? It was mental, man. Even at the end of it, I was waiting for the decision and going, I don't fucking know. Just tell me. Because I don't have a fucking clue. It was fucking brilliant, mate. It was definitely one of those ones you've got to put in the list for a kind of fight of the year number, because it was just superb, mate. It was brilliant. What a fight. 100% deserved fight in the night, without doubt. It was just, sensational. There isn't what I was to describe that fight, but sensational. It was just, as you say, if you're not an MMA fan after watching that fight, you'll never be an MMA fan.
Right. Completely agree, mate. It was superb. I say this, I mean, the rest of it was brilliant as well. Like, Melsik Bagdasarian, was superb. What a head kick that was, by the way.
Yeah, man, that was sensational. I didn't expect that. I don't know what I've like. Obviously, I think this was his debut in the UFC. I've never seen him in a contender series, so obviously I've never seen him before that. I didn't obviously know what to expect out of Bagdasarian, but I did not expect that, man. He's 100 mile an hour, knocking fuck at you, and then that head kick was just fucking unbelievable.
You know what got me? He's so fast, and obviously he's quite wee nowadays for a featherweight. Like, featherweights are normally a wee bit taller. I know that's a bit fucking ironic coming for the fact that Volkanovski's the smallest featherweight in the world, but if you look at the rest of them in the top...
They're a decent height. They're not exactly tiny.
Who's the big tall one? No, wait, he's no... Fuck, there isn't. But Sharipov, also Ortega, Holloway, all these guys are over 6 foot tall, or just there or thereabouts, mate. Whereas they're not built like him, but he was... No wonder they call him the gun, mate, because he's so fast. Like, it's not. I honestly thought, I kind of forgot they were featherweights. I thought they were like flyweights the way they were moving, the two of them.
As you say, they were absolutely constant, weren't you, man? They were fucking non-stop the way they were fighting. It was fucking unbelievable, mate. Great performance, 100%. I'm really actually looking forward just to seeing him fight in the future now. Can't wait to see him fight again. I think he said after his interview, after he's like, I wasn't happy with that. I don't think I was particularly good, to be honest. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Let's see what's fucking to come then, because I cannot wait to see that.
I was going to say what else, but Jared Gooden, way to take your chance. A late call-up, man.
Definitely, mate. It was such a straight punch. I don't even think he'd finished the punch. Do you know what I mean? I think he'd literally punched through his head. I think if he kept punching his head, if he'd hand-crabbing through the through his head, he literally would have came through the back of his head. It was
a very short, sharp punch. It almost seemed like a nothing punch. Sometimes they're the ones that always get, you know, they don't seem like much, and they just hit the right place on the face, and Stoltz went down again like a deck chair, mate. It was just on the floor. It was a class finish. As I said, way to take your opportunity. You know, you're a last minute replacement few days before the, and you know, that's just
Bet Stoltz wish that fight get cancelled after that, man. Fuck's sake.
Fucking right, mate. Absolutely. Fucking right. I like big Nicholas Stoltz as well, man. He looked quite good. I was quite impressed with him. But hey, listen, that is what it is. You've got to take your opportunity, and big Jared did that. And some, do you know what I mean?
He did that, man. He did that. 100% took his opportunity.
What about
Shane Bai? Is we gone there?
Aye. The most well-timed head kick you will ever see in your life.
I think I'd say there was more luck in it than timing.
Oh, aye. But I'm saying it was perfectly timed for her.
Aye, luckily perfectly timed, aye.
Aye, look, luck-wise, definitely, mate, because it was extremely lucky.
Mate, it was a great head kick, great finish to finish it off, man. I'm actually quite happy for that. I think we've seen her the fight before. She obviously fought that wee Mexican lassie, didn't she? See the one that's fucking 3 foot 2 or something like that?
Aye, Montserrat Ruiz.
Aye, she's 3 foot 2 tall, but 3 foot 2 wide, man. She's fucking weird. She obviously lost that fight, and obviously that ended in fucking a bit of controversy and stuff like that, with a spitting incident and stuff like that. And then Shane Baez basically said she wants to fucking kill her now. And I kind of liked that a wee bit for Shane Baez. It was really good before this fight. And I was like, fuck it, yes. I want you to go and fucking just pump her on Saturday night now. And nice. That's what she did, man. She put that fucking, that head kick was fucking beautiful. And it finished off the way she did, man. It was just superb. I'm so glad she got performance of the night as well. She got that wee bonus, especially after a wee story and interview and stuff like that, saying that basically fighting basically broke her, man. She's fucking got to take loans out to fucking get a house and all that, and she moved to Vegas and stuff like that. It was really good to see that she got that that bonus, and hopefully that will sort her out and let her continue her career in the way she's going.
It's good to see people put in the effort and want to make it get rewarded, because she does look like a decent fighter, but then it's always hard to know, mate. It's very hard to know, you know, how good she is actually until she starts fighting some better people. Like, it'll be interesting to see where she goes from here. Who she fights next and stuff like that. Strawweight, I mean, the strawweight's a pretty good division. Okay, just like fucking off flyweight, obviously, because nobody wants to fight in that division, but Straws is almost the same, because the girls at the top of the Straws are, you know, absolute killers as well, you know.
I would probably say the strawweight's probably the deepest division that the UFC's got.
Aye, but it's probably the most likely title to change hands in the women.
Yeah, because it's quite high. I wouldn't disagree with that either.
Getting there would be much harder. It'd be much harder to, there's much more like stuff to swim through to get to that shot, but with getting there, winning the titles may be slightly easier than trying to beat, you know, arguably one of the best to ever do it. Not even the best woman to ever do it, one of the best to ever do it. And Shevchenko. You like that there, aye?
Aye, that was fucking push.
What about main event, Sean Strickland versus Uriah Hall?
I think the way we've done this has kind of said everything we want to say about this fight. Like, I enjoy watching Sean Strickland, so I really enjoyed his performance, but it wasn't a great fight, if that makes sense.
Correct.
Uriah Hall, especially the first two or three rounds, didn't really make it a fight. I think he came in at one point, but I think he took a bit of a beating and then he kind of went back into his shell and fucked off again. Like, it was just, as I say, Sean Strickland, I thought, was done what he had to do. He was superb. His striking was really good, man. He punched fuck out your eyes, Hall's head like it was just a fucking punch bag. He was just constantly fucking punching him, teeing off on him like fucking nothing else. Obviously, Strickland got his couple of takedowns as well. He's got a trips he got in Hall, and he took advantage of that and stuff like that. And like, well done, Sean Strickland. But Uriah Hall, for me, I think I said this last week, like, I fancy Sean Strickland to win this fight every fucking day of the week. Because Uriah Hall, his last two or three fights, I think one he won because the Wyman broke his leg, didn't he? And then the one before that, he beat fucking Anderson Silva, didn't he? Aye. Then one before that, I thought it was even Antonio Carlos Jr., which he won by split decision. So their last three fights, was nothing in their last three fights to tell me that Uriah Hall had anything in him to go beat an up-and-coming guy. A guy who's on our tail, like fucking Sean Strickland has been. And fucking it proved it in the night, man, because
I would imagine
UFC are seriously considering Uriah Hall's future after something like that.
I do not rate Uriah Hall.
I don't think we've seen the best of Uriah Hall. I think maybe a long time ago. I think obviously we're kind of more recent into the UFC, let's be honest, the MMA and stuff like that. I think probably a while back you probably would have been seen a lot better at Uriah Hall, but he was so hit and miss, man. He wins a couple and loses three, and then wins a couple and loses a couple. And I don't know if we'll see him again, to be honest. He may get one more fight as a kind of cheerio present, kind of bye-bye, but
I'm assuming. Listen, this was what it was. It was Sean Strickland doing what Sean Strickland does. I mean, if you listen to his fight stats, right? So he landed 186 of 428 significant strikes at a clip of 43%. He had 4 out of 6 takedowns and had 7 minutes of control time. That's nuts. That's just stupid. Absolutely stupid. But you know one thing I noticed about Sean Strickland? He bites so hard on feints. Like, so hard. It's probably one of the worst I've ever seen fighters biting so hard on feints, mate. It's actually shocking.
It's the shoulder that goes up.
No, it's not even that, mate. He just looks like he shakes himself. He's like, oh, you bastard. Oh, you bastard. Mate, I swear to God, watch it back if you get a minute, or even just watch a few minutes.
I can see it in my head now. I didn't really think about it before, but I can see it in my head now that you're talking about, because I noticed it was always a shoulder for me. He seems to pop his arm up into the air a wee bit. Aye, it seems to come up. And it's like, fuck's sake, Sean, calm down. Just fucking get a chill pull.
Listen, that's not a bad thing. That is what it is, mate. I don't imagine it ever being a bad thing.
I suppose.
He still won the fight and absolutely dominated it. I don't know what judge had fucking Uriah Hall winning that round. I mean, that's just ridiculous. But, yeah. That is what it is, mate. There's nothing massively to talk about this. It wasn't a fight of the night. It wasn't a performance of the night. It was what it was, and that's it. Simple as that.
As we say, it is nothing. Let's be honest. There's nothing major in Sean Strickland going and beating fucking Uriah Hall. That will probably move Sean Strickland up the rankings now. Let's be honest. He'll probably jump ahead of Uriah Hall and be into that top 8 position. And you look at the 7 ahead of him and you go, well, for me, Sean Strickland maybe isn't there yet. So what is next for Sean Strickland? Is he going to go and fight a Shabazzian or a Gastelum or something along the lines? What is next for Sean Strickland? Because to be honest, I don't know. I think even the way his interview went after the fight, he's like, well, I just love fighting. I think he kind of knows that himself. Maybe I'm not quite in that top class caliber yet. Maybe I need another couple of fights before I can go and fight a Darren Till or a Marvin Vittori. That type of thing, do you know what I mean? So
I think he would struggle with somebody like Vittori. See, because he's quite patient. I'm not saying in terms of like skill level, because I don't think Sean Strickland's skill is very, very, very good. But I think in terms of, see that relentless pressure from Tony Vittori, I think Strickland would crumble, mate. I don't think he would handle that at all well. I really don't. But listen, could be totally wrong about that. And, you know, it is what it is. But it was good, mate. It was good. That's it. It was a good fight, good win. There was 25 minutes of decent MMA, you know, there was everything in it. There were loads of strikes being thrown, Uriah Hall get beat up and I get ground and pounded, you know what I mean? It was decent.
That's what it was, mate. It was a good win for Strickland on the end. As I said, I've just got that burning question in my head, what's next for him? So wait and see what happens.
Can we talk about one other thing? You're probably going to tell me to shut up here, you don't want to talk about it.
I'll tell you after you've told me what I talk about.
Nico Montano.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything nice here, mate. And I know sometimes we pull punches of what we're really thinking in case you upset folk. But honestly, this lassie needs to get a fucking career change. This shit is winding me up. She's fought twice in the UFC, right? Twice in the UFC. Once was for, in fact, it was almost an exhibition bout in the Ultimate Fighter. She won the title, the very first flyweight title against Roxanne Modafferi, and then get actually stripped because her weight cut was that horrendous, right? She's missed so many fights. She got banned for drugs. She's missed fights for undisclosed health reasons. She's missed all this stuff. Only one fight at bantamweight, she lost to Juliana Pena. I honestly do not understand what this lassie's playing at, mate. Now, listen, I'm going to give everybody a chance, but the fact that she actually is a one-time flyweight champion, you consider who the other flyweight champions are. In fact, I think there was probably only one. I think it's actually ridiculous, mate. This lassie's taking a piss. She was 7 pounds over, mate. I don't actually count the 46. For me, she's £8 over. I just, mate, I'm sorry. I really am getting quite upset about it. The lassie's just, in fact, yeah, she's the only other flyweight champion. I think that even disrespects Shevchenko. That's how bad it is.
Well, mate, I can't obviously defend her in any way, shape, or form. I don't know what it is, why she can't do a weight cut correctly. Is there issues just with her body cutting weight? Is it because maybe her and her team don't know how to do it correctly? I don't know. I can't defend her because, as you say, it's pretty much been a fucking shambles for start to finish, really. In her career in the UFC. So, mate, I don't want to talk about it too much, to be honest, because I can't be asked, and I don't think we'll have to worry about talking about it too much more, to be honest. I can imagine the UFC eventually will just get to the stage where trying on something, fuck it. Well, but maybe they're helping her, maybe they're trying to get her to cut weight and try to help her to do things. Maybe she's, if she's not based at the PI already, maybe she's got to do something like that.
Mate, she's had nine cancelled fights since December 2017. Okay, granted, the Eubanks one wasn't her, right? There's Shevchenko, 2018. Montano hospitalised due to weight cut. Okay, Sarah McMahon was an injury to McMahon. Montano injury, you know, rescheduled, fine. Montano, COVID, can't do anything with COVID, that's fine. Montano withdrew. Montano not medically cleared. Montano missed weight. Something's got to give, mate, here. And even then, see if I take off the fact that it frustrates me that she's not in a place to do it. For her own safety and for her own health, mate, somebody needs to sit this lassie down and go, right, you need to seriously think about this. Just look at how many times she's failed to get to weight or do whatever it is. That lassie's fought twice in 4 years, 4.5 years. It's not healthy, mate. Somebody needs to sit her down and talk to her, only for her own safety, mate. It's getting a joke, honestly. I feel bad. I genuinely feel worried for the lassie that one day it might go too far, and that scares me.
She trains under John Wood as well.
I know she does. She trains with Jojo and with Roxanne Modafferi and all that. So there is flyweights there. I mean, Jojo's a flyweight. Roxanne's a flyweight. So there's plenty of people there that can help her manage her weight and manage the wake up. But she just can't seem to get it, mate. And I don't know what it is.
There's got to be more to it. There's got to be, because it doesn't make sense, man. And it's, as you say, it's not good for her. It's not good for UFC having all these fucking cancelled fights. It's not fucking good for them. So, I don't think we need to worry about talking about her much more after this. I don't think you'll need to have to worry about getting on your high horse and having a fucking go on.
It winds me up because I get annoyed, but then I think it's not my place to get annoyed. These people put themselves through hell, right? I get it. But at the same day, you've got to look after yourself. See if that was me, mate, and I wasn't making weight. See if I had issues making weight maybe two or three times. I'd be it for me. I'd be like, right, I'm either fighting at a higher weight or I'm chucking it. There's just, you wouldn't put yourself through that, mate. It's hard enough making the weight healthily because you're cutting weight so drastically and dehydrating your body. You're taking years off your life doing it, and she's doing it badly. So God knows. I mean,
supposed to be Bantam the weekend, or am I making that up? Or was it supposed to be?
No, it was.
That flyweight as well?
No, it was at Bantam.
Thought that.
So she missed Bantam by £7. So this is my point, mate. This is my point. She's obviously not in a good place to be making the weight cut.
There's got to be more to it, man.
There has to be, mate.
Let's move on, because
I know, well, time's going on. Anyway, right, moving swiftly on to this weekend, and there's nothing on except UFC, as far as I know.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything else either, so that's probably about right.
And it's UFC 265, Lewis versus Gan, from the Toyota Center in Houston, Texas. Obviously, a big homecoming for big Derek Lewis. One thing I'd like to say straight off the bat, let's get this right off my chest, seeing as I'm in one of the moods tonight. I'm glad that Nunez Pena is off this card.
Is that just to make it look an absolute shambles, or it is?
No, it's to make a point that that should have been the headliner. It should have been the main event. It's absolutely disgusting that Amanda Nunez was a co-main event, mate. I know Lewis is at home. I know it's his hometown, but I'm sorry, mate. An interim title fight should never overtake a title fight. Never mind, you know, the current and only champ. Sorry, that's just my opinion. I think it's a joke. So in a way, I'm kind of glad, because then that means if Nunez and Pena's rescheduled, she's either going to be the main event or the co-main to an actual other title fight. I think, honestly, mate, I think it was the worst booking I've seen in such a long time.
Yeah, like we said this a few weeks ago, we were talking about it. We said that type of thing, that it was just a bit of a weird one, how they pushed, obviously, an interim heavyweight title fight ahead of an actual title fight, alright, as much as the actual title fight. I'm not saying it's got to be a walkover, but it's not exactly, it's fucking, she's done everything else pretty easy so far, Nunez, so,
yeah.
Anyway, let's get into the fucking card, because...
I just wanted to get it off my chest, mate, it's just not sitting right with me at all, so, I was like, yeah, Fuck it, let's do it. The card, mate, see, again, like, we talked about it before we started here, this is a very good fight night card, but a very average pay-per-view card.
I think even average, you're fucking pushing it there, to be honest. It's a very good fight night card, I think. If I was the one in America, if I was in America and I'm having to pay for this, I'd be looking at it going, nah, fuck it, I'll save my $70, $80 and I'll wait till next month and I'll make sure I get the next month's fucking pay-per-view, because as much as some really good fights on it, to be honest, I'm actually looking forward to watching Lewis versus Gan. It'd be interesting to see how that goes, because yes, Lewis is very, very patient with his punches, and I don't know if that's going to suit Gan the way that style of eight goes.
Although Gan's quite patient, he likes to grind them out, mate. He's very boring.
But I don't think, as a heavyweight champion, in quotation marks, you can literally base your career on decisions, for me. So for me, Gan probably has to somehow go and make a statement and finish Derek Lewis. The big men are all about finishing fights. They're all about getting that one punch knockout. Even though Stipe and Cormier fought for fucking 16 years in a row fighting each other to figure out, they never made a decision. I mean, there's always a finish in it. So Gan needs that. Gan needs a finish for me on Saturday night. He needs to go and finish Derek Lewis to prove that he is a contender for a heavyweight champion, because that's what heavyweights are all about. That's what they've always done, and that's what we need for him, to be honest.
I just don't see him like that. I just don't see him like that, mate. But listen, I hope so too. I'd love to see Gan come out of his shell a wee bit and actually, you know, maybe go and bang with Lewis, but I think banging with Lewis is a dangerous, dangerous game.
I think he's too technical to bang with him. I think he can finish him without banging with him. I think he can finish him maybe just through an amount of punches or a particular punch that just lands in the correct place, if you know what I mean. I don't think he has to necessarily go and just fucking go in with the haymakers. I think he's too technical for that. He's too good. I think we spoke a few times about this new breed of heavyweight. He is the leading guy in that you've got him, you get Tom Aspinall, who's an American boy, who I can't think off the top of my head. Oh, I can't remember his name. There's another one anyway. There's an odd couple who are that kind of new breed of heavyweight, who are very technical and very quick on their feet, and he is the leading guy of that kind of group of fighters. So for him, but as a heavyweight champion, you need to be able to knock people out, because let's be honest, you watch heavyweight fights not for the technical ability, not for anything else, but you just want to see somebody get laid the fuck out, because that's why everyone loves Big Frank, because Big Frank, all he ever does is just lay cunts the fuck out. And that's what you want to see. I think Gan needs that this weekend. I don't think it's not going to be a one-punch walk-off knockout. I think it could be, I'm hoping it's going to be maybe a finish of accumulation of punches, but at the same time, if you try and do that and you're inside too much, Derek Lewis is just going to put one on you and then finish the fight that way. So Derek, this is like two generations. Derek Lewis is the typical heavyweight MMA fighter. Just loves to throw big punches and knock you the fuck out. Whereas Sun Ogan is a technical striker, jiu-jitsu guy with some decent wrestling as well. He's got a bit of everything. And it kind of, I think it's just perfectly matched up, to be honest, I think. As much as maybe it shouldn't be an interim title fight for me, I think it's a good matchup.
Yeah. Do you think it'll benefit Gann, the fact that he's went 225 minutes in the last 8 months?
It's not going to do any harm. But again, as I said, with the heavyweights, you don't want that. You're not looking for that. UFC aren't looking for that with the heavyweights either.
Well, so obviously it's not put them off this, though.
No. They're going to keep pushing them because they're pushing towards Paris for me. I still think they're pushing towards Paris, getting Gann in a cage in Paris and making a fucking super heavyweight fight. That is surely the dream for the UFC at some point, to have them two fighting in Paris in front of a sold out crowd. But anyway, well, it'll be interesting to see how it goes, because as I say, it's two different style of fighters kind of going against each other, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too, mate. I'm really looking forward to it. So hopefully it's as good as what I think it is on paper. There's good fights on this card. Like, I'm absolutely buzzing for Luque Chiesa, by the way.
No, that's a tremendous fight, mate. That's an absolutely superb fight, because for me, that all depends on if Luque can stay on his feet, because Chiesa will just fucking ragdoll you all day long. And that move to 170, which I think we said when he was fighting at 155 two or three years back, we said he's got to move up. His length and his height, there's no reason why he can't, and he's went and proved at 170. He's a fucking monster, man.
You look at the four names he's beat, man. Condit, Sanchez, RDA, Magny. That's ridiculous, mate.
Mate, it's superb. Because I think probably at lightweight, he was really struggling to actually get wins.
Kevin Lee. That shows you how embarrassing that is.
I think that's harsher on Kevin Lee, but that's a different fucking story for a different day.
Well, Kevin Lee's got all the talent, but just no there.
Weirdly, I'm looking forward to Aldo Munoz. No idea why. I think it actually might be half decent. Tisha Torres versus Angie Hill, I think, could be decent as well.
That'd be a good fight. I like watching Tisha Torres, man. She's relentless. She's quite good. She's quite quick.
And Angie Hill's skill set as well, with her technical boxing. I think that could be a fucking tremendous wee fight. Song versus Casey Kenny, man. I think that'd be fucking mental. I think that's a tremendous matchup, that one. Whoever thought about that one. Fuck, even Fiziev versus Bobby Green. Bobby Green's in a bit of a tear recently, isn't he? He's won his last three or four or something like that. So.
Did he not lose his last one? Because he was on a tear and then lost one, did he not? Aye, he got beat by Moises. He'd won three in a row.
You look at Moises obviously winning a couple of weeks back. That's not a bad loss to having your record as such either. So, Ed Herman versus Alonzo Menifield, man. There'll be somebody getting fucking KO'd out of that. I think somebody getting stretchered out of there. That'll be good.
Moises get beat by Makhachev, mate.
Fuck, so he did. I think not.
The point's made, though. Moises...
The level that Moises is probably fighting at, such that kind of...
That's the thing, mate. I'm not a massive fan of Fiziev. I know people love him. I'm not really... Don't really get it, to be honest with you. I'm not a massive fan, but... Ed Herman, Alonzo Merrifield. Ed Herman's always fun to watch, because it takes him getting hit with a fridge to get knocked out, so exactly. He'll be good to watch.
KK's back as well. I'm leaving saying her full name, because... As much as I love her, I keep fucking up.
Karolina Kovalkiewicz.
Aye. So, I'm looking forward to seeing her back finally. I think she's been out for a couple of years now, and she's been away for a while, so.
Yeah, I think she had to reset, mate, because she would get a couple of bad beats, mate, a couple of bad losses.
Some good stuff on this, man. I'm really hoping we get every fight on it, to be honest, mate. I hope every fight comes through and we get them all on Saturday night and we get to watch them all. Should be good.
Yeah, should be. Right, cool. Moving swiftly on, do you have your news and your fight predictions of the week, Mr. Man?
Well, my fight announcement of the week.
Sorry, not fight predictions.
There's actually quite a lot got announced this week. My fight announcement of the week's probably a difficult one, to be honest. I'm going to go with Justin Gaethje versus Michael Chandler, just for the fun aspect of it. Obviously, it's a massive fight. For me, it's probably the winner of that. Maybe if Gaethje wins the fight, he'll maybe fight the winner of Poirier versus Oliveira.
Mm-hmm.
If Chandler wins it, I think he might need one more fight again before he gets another title shot.
Well, then that would also depend on who wins out of Oliveira and Dustin Poirier.
How?
Would Chandler not get beat by Oliveira?
Oh, fuck, okay, so he does. Aye, true. Fair point.
So, if Poirier wins and Chandler wins, make the fight. Fuck it.
Yeah,
why not?
You could die. But possibility, that's true.
If Oliveira beats Poirier, then nah, Chandler needs to fight another couple of times.
So that's set up for 268 to start November 6th. Where am I at? November 6th? It's 267 or the week before that.
That's 2 weeks before, is it not?
I thought it was a week before. I thought it was like the 30th or something like that.
No, I'm sure it's 2 weeks before. I'm sure they said that because they've got that Abu Dhabi thing. Remember?
I know, that's why I thought. Because they've got... fuck, what's the fight? What's the main event on that again?
Never mind.
I'm sorry. Anyway, so that's pretty close anyway. Obviously, you get two cards really, really close together. But anyway, so that was my wee fight announcement a week. Aspen Ladd versus Macy Chason has been rebooked. That's October 2nd. We've also got Holly Holm versus Norma Dumont, which I think may actually be a decent fight. That's October 16th. That's been
is that a Bantam or is that a Feather?
Featherweight.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. I think that's more for that's probably more for Dumont than it is for Holm, I would imagine, anyway.
Well, Dumont is a featherweight, as I'm saying. I wonder why Holm's stepping up.
I think she's looking to fight at bantamweight going forward at some point.
Who?
Dumont.
What's the point in fighting a featherweight then?
Maybe she's doing a... Well, maybe she's weight-cutting correctly. Maybe she's trying to do it as she goes along. We'll talk about Bellator earlier on, obviously trying to do things right with people's weight cuts. Well, so we've got... Looks like Usman versus Colby's got to be November 6th as well. Part 2. Surprised they made this, but fair enough. They can do what they want. What?
So am I.
They can do what they want. It's their fucking fighters. They can... Funny about we enter. So disappointing news from a UK point of view.
Right.
UFC has moved the September 4th event, which was supposed to be in London, to Las Vegas.
Oh, that's
weird, that, man, because there's got to be some amount of European fighters on that card.
I know they're on a scrambling about trying to get fucking visas.
Darren Till versus Derek Brunson will still be the headliner for that event. What else have we got? Just a wee one. Tatiana Suarez. She's fucked her knee.
I know, I've seen that gutty one again.
Like, she just can't get a fucking break, can she? So, she's had to withdraw for 266. So, fuck knows when we'll see Tatiana Suarez again, man. I think probably the rest of the division's fucking delighted because she'd be champion by now if she fucking was still there, I think. But she just can't get a fucking break, man.
No, she can't.
We started with Bellator this afternoon, so we'll finish with Bellator news. So, funnily enough, this might happen, might not happen. Obviously, UFC's pulled out of London, but it looks like Bellator's coming to London.
MVP versus Lima.
Yeah, Doogie Lima versus MPV. MPV? MPV. What is it? MPV? Is that a car?
Multi-person vehicle.
There we go. So MVP on October 1st from London. Obviously, I'll be interested to see if that actually happens. Robert Whiteford's on that card as well, actually. Good to see him back. Charlie Leary as well. So, a wee bit of UK presence on that, UK and Ireland presence, I would imagine. And the all other thing was October 16th, Vadim Nemkov will fight Anthony Johnson, which will be interesting, and Ryan Bader versus Corey Anderson will be on the exact same night as well.
Ooh.
They're doing the two light heavyweight semi-finals on the same night. So
I've always said they should be doing that with Grand Prix anyway.
So I'd like to hope that once fucking... I'd imagine obviously Nemkov will be the headliner. Once Bader or Anderson beat each other, whoever beats whatever, goes basically sits up to the side and waits, like, cage side and waits. Goes, me and Yalanka, fucking, yes.
Come on then, let's go right now.
That's what I'd be like. I'd be straight in the back, quick shower, get me out front row, let's go. Let's go and be right, stuck in a bit. So, aye. So, that's your news, my man. That's us done.
Cool, nice one. Right, well, thanks very much for listening. As always, guys, we do appreciate it. Get us on the socials, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at InsideCageMMA. Hit us up, press the like, follow, share button. And yeah, have a good week. Catch you next time.